At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make some noise! It's Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. It's like beer and brats, a perfect combination.
You know the deal.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Another episode of Making Monsters. We're now in the thick of camp, and preseason has now begun. We saw the Bears play a Hall of Fame game. So we're looking at to some of the players that maybe are looking to make the roster or who have gotten new contracts with the Bears, which are a few of them. And we are joined by Coach Tom Herman. He is now the FAU football coach, head coach down here in Florida, which I also coach. I'm in Jacksonville. So we're not too far away. But thanks for hopping on with me. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
So the main reason you've been several places when it comes to Ohio State and Iowa State and Houston, but also Texas. And Texas is the big one I want to start with. And for a few reasons, actually. But Colin Johnson, I think, was probably the star of the Hall of Fame game. The dude's huge. 6'6", big receiver. And I covered the Jacksonville Jaguars, too. So when the Jaguars drafted Colin Johnson, I remember seeing him for the first time at OTAs and being like, this is one of the biggest humans I've ever seen out on the football field. But just tell us a little bit about Colin Johnson, his strengths on the football field, and what you saw with him when he was at Texas.
Yeah. And as big as he is as a human being, he's probably got a bigger heart, too. He's an unbelievable young man. Skill set wise, I haven't coached one like him before and haven't since. You're right. He's, God bless him with an unbelievable frame in terms of his size. But I think a lot of times big, tall receivers get labeled as guys that maybe can't run really well. And Colin can certainly run. He's athletic for a big guy. But I think his dominant trait to go along with that size is his ball skills. You know, he's got really, really strong hands. He times his jump or attack to the football extremely well. And like I said, for a big guy, he can do a little something after the catch too. But his strength is going to be in one-on-one coverage using that big frame and his exceptional ball skills.
Yeah, and he had a bit of an interesting career. I know, I think you came there when he was a sophomore, I believe.
Right.
So freshman season, played every single game. During the next couple years, he ended up losing his starting spot and was kind of a backup for a couple years. But from what I've heard, that kind of taught him some lessons during that time, and he took that as a learning experience. Tell us a little bit about that time and how Colin Johnson handled that and then was able to kind of regain that in his junior, senior year.
Yeah, I don't ever remember him necessarily being like out of good graces or anything. I think, you know, we were rotating more wide receivers at the time. And he kind of hadn't really separated himself. He really didn't show us maybe the real, I hate to use it, the dog, you know, the physical intense guy that he truly is inside. We weren't seeing it for whatever reason. And, you know, he took that to heart. And I think just kind of once he felt comfortable in the offense and realized, you know, this is big boy football. And, you know, I'm definitely good enough if I put my mind to this and I show my true colors every day. And he was a joy to be around on it. And in his career, I believe, as a captain. So, I mean, he's a unbelievable player, but like I said, a great young man that did have some ups and downs, but I think he finished his last year at Texas was 70 something catches, I believe, you know, a bunch of touchdowns. So he ended on a great note for sure.
Yeah, and I think I'm rooting for Colin Johnson. I have since he's been drafted. I think that when you see a guy like that, and like you said, most of the time it's just kind of like, oh, these big guys, of course, they're going to be able to make contested catches. But I feel like Colin Johnson goes beyond that. And we talk about all the levels of a wide receiver, of route running, and the hands is a thing, blocking ability. We know Colin Johnson has that ability too.
Yeah, I probably took out route running. For a big guy, he's a very, very crisp, detailed route runner too.
So I feel like, Coach, and this is a part of the NFL injuries, I just feel like that is kind of what has hindered him, obviously. But yeah, if he can stay healthy, I think he has a place in the NFL. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited that the Bears are seeing, hopefully, his best football.
Yeah, and it could be a fun room with a guy like DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze just drafted, and then a Colin Johnson could be a really fun, dangerous offensive room. But I do want to go with one of the other guys for a minute that you also coached for a bit at Texas, which is Roschon Johnson. Another guy I'm a big fan of around draft time. A lot of Bijan talk, rightfully so. But Roschon Johnson was there, and a lot of people have told me if Bijan was not at Texas, then Roschon would have been the number one, and we would have been talking about him in similar light. Tell us a little bit about your time with Roschon and what you think he can do too when it comes to being a running back.
Yeah, I don't know how often he's told the story, but he came to Texas as a very highly recruited quarterback. And as a true freshman, we were fairly deep at quarterback and not at all at tailback. And he was built well and so on and so forth. And we said, hey, you were mobile in high school. You know, can you give us some depth, you know, as a true freshman at tailback? And, you know, when the spring rolls around, we'll move you back to quarterback. And as a true freshman, he went out and was phenomenal at that position. And we had a talk that spring. We were actually going to move him back to quarterback. And he said, you know, we kind of made the decision together that probably his best future to play professionally would be at running back. And he made us all right, because he's there's no secret to me, the ones that make it in that league, you're talking about in Colin Johnson and Roschon Johnson, two of the top 20 human beings I've ever had the honor of coaching. So it is certainly no surprise. A leader amongst leaders, Roschon is. You can tell he's always been the guy in charge. He's got a quarterback mindset. And I think playing quarterback growing up his whole life really has given him maybe a different view of the game, and his vision and patience in the backfield is really impressive.
That's what I was just about to say. I'm sure experiencing it from the quarterback view for so long does give you a different view from what you're looking at than maybe if you grew up being a running back or a wide receiver or some of those other positions.
He was telling me in college, you know, he was talking about safety rotation in terms of knowing where the blitz was going to come from. So, you know, he would be more tuned into his blitz responsibilities as a running back. And I was like, I don't know that I've ever had a running back talk to me about safety rotation. So
I love that. And that's it. You can tell he's smart. He's one of the things. We didn't get to see a whole ton of Roschon Johnson this year. We're expecting a big uptick of what we say Rojo. But I think, what would you explain – what type of back would you explain him as? Because a lot of people here kind of say he's going to be that short down, third down type of back. Can he do all of it, or is he a little better in a certain area?
Probably better in the short space, tough yards, contact yards. But I think that would be selling his dynamism a little bit short. You know, I do think that he has make you miss ability, you know, and he's what I call kind of slithery. You know, he's not a just jump here, jump there kind of guy, but he's got this smooth, silky, slithery way of making guys miss in the open field. So yes, I do think his strength is going to be between the tackles, getting tough contested yards, but he's pretty damn good at the other stuff too.
Yeah, I'm super excited for him in year two here. And so I also mentioned at the top of this, you were with the Bears in 2021. I don't want to remiss on Justin Fields again. We've talked a ton about Justin Fields, so I'm not even going to go there right now. But I do want to talk about another Johnson. We've talked Colin Johnson, Roschon Johnson, a guy that was in his sophomore year on the defensive side of the ball when you were there, and Jalen Johnson, who has just become one of the best corners in the NFL, just got a big contract with the Bears. And I know it's been a couple years since you've been there, but are you surprised at all that Jalen Johnson's turned into the corner that he is?
No, not at all. You know, this is a guy that it was evident, you know, when you're in the NFL, they're all really good, right? But he stuck out, you know, that he was just always around the ball, always his length, and he was really smart in terms of not to get too silly, but like the tempo in his pedal, and he could run routes for wideouts as good as anybody had seen. And like you said, in just his second year in the NFL, it was impressive.
It's really been fun to watch him, his growth, but like not only get better as on the football field, but also how he's become such a leader on the Bears defense. And I mentioned at the top too, how little players are left from that 2021 season. That's kind of how much Ryan Poles has done in these few short seasons as the GM, has really turned the roster around. But another player that was there, who was one of my favorite, I'm also a Notre Dame fan, but Cole Kmet. And I think that another player that to me just year by year has gotten better and better and almost underrated in the NFL. What did you see initially that sophomore year from Cole Kmet, and how do you feel his place is in the NFL?
Well, I'm glad the Bears don't underrate him. You know, they I think are pretty well aware of his value. You know, that's another very cerebral guy, probably could play quarterback if he needed him to. You know, he's that smart and extremely conscientious, and just to see a guy with that frame be able to move and do the things too in the pass game that he can do, it was really impressive too. So I think he's got a bright, I don't follow that league a whole lot, but
you're a little busy.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if there's, you know, more than a handful out there that are better equipped for that position than him.
Yeah, and that's what, like I said, he's one of my favorite. I already was excited when the Bears drafted
him. I'm surprised he's not the mayor of Chicago by now.
I know. He did. I don't know if you watched any of Hard Knocks, but in the most recent Hard Knocks, they were showing him throw out the first pitch at the Cubs game, and they're like, Chicago native Cole Kmet. And it's just like, everybody loves Cole. You're from Chicago, and everybody embraces that and loves that. Another interesting thing, Coach, as I was kind of looking into some of the connections that you have, because originally it was just Colin Johnson, and the more I dug in, the more I saw you had several connections here in Chicago, and whether it be with current players that you coached or ones that are now there. Another one, if we go back to the 2017 season when you were in Texas, your first game was against Maryland. There was a wide receiver named DJ Moore in that game that had 133 yards and a touchdown in that game. DJ Moore. I mean, I feel like he is one of the players that you just talk about being a wide receiver who one of the best when it comes to yards after the catch, one of the best when it comes to those contested catches, deep balls. I feel like he can just do a little bit of everything.
Man, that was a long day. but it was a good day for him. Yeah, he was one of, if not the best players on the field that day, and has certainly shown himself to be an electric player in that league. And you know, the sky's the limit for him. I think he's just coming into his own right now, and you know, from what I heard, the Bears you know, made him a priority and went out and got him, and I think they hit a home run.
Yeah, DJ's fantastic, and he's another one too that really quickly has become one of the leaders on the team. And I think that with some of the young guys like Aroma Dunze, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, I think are some of the perfect fits that you can have in molding some of these guys. Just a couple more for you, Coach. As we talk about just the league in general and how the offense has slowly just kind of progressed into this full offensive league. And for so long, the Bears just have been a defensive team. That's what it is. They could run the ball and they could play defense. And now they're kind of having to transform into this high powered offense to be able to keep up. And I know you say you don't pay a ton of attention into the league, but how have you seen that transform over the last few years when it comes to some of these quarterbacks, especially more dual threat ones that can move around and run and use their legs a lot more too?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's weird that in a lot of, areas, things kind of trickle down from the highest levels down to the smaller levels. And I think this phenomenon has actually kind of trickled up from high school football into college football and now into the NFL. And maybe it's because of the kind of athlete that we're playing with at that position at quarterback now, you know, that league is kind of forced. This is what you got, you know, this is, and they're doing a good job of playing to those quarterback strengths, I think. And you're getting creative. And the good thing about that league too, is if you got one, a really good one, you know, the chances are you're going to have them for, you know, God willing, 8, 10, 12 years, you know, and so you can really kind of grow with that quarterback. I think that's the biggest thing in that league, where you can kind of build around those players and build your offense around. We're here, you know, we're changing quarterbacks every couple of years. So, you know, you kind of have to play with the hand you're dealt sometimes in our level, but there, I think everybody has kind of seen the value in being able to make plays with your feet at that position and has really taken hold of it.
Yeah, the college football right now is a fascinating place when it comes to obviously the transfer portal and NIL and kind of everything that has dug into how we are seeing teams being built now. I think the next few years are going to be very interesting to kind of watch. And I know your former school that you coached at in Texas, now in the SEC. So there's a lot of big changes when it comes to that. How do you feel about that realignment, by the way?
If it doesn't affect me or my team, it's hard to, it's hard. So I do worry about college football and the direction that we're headed, you know, and maybe this is for the better. Maybe we do need, you know, a designation of teams that are willing to, you know, pay guys, you know, millions and millions of dollars to come play them and some that can't do that. And so it's headed in a direction that we've never seen, but I all this conference realignment, I think it's just the beginning of something more permanent down the road.
Yeah, I agree. Watching the way that the Pac-12 went out last year, I felt every team, it was so entertaining to watch them. So it was kind of a bummer to see it kind of dissolve.
Yeah, not a whole lot of drama this year, right?
Yeah. Final one. I said I wasn't going to say anything, but I feel like I have to when it comes to Justin Fields, because obviously you were there that 2021 season. He's in Pittsburgh now. I think when it comes to Mike Tomlin, we can talk about being one of the greatest NFL coaches. He's been able to do what he does at a consistent basis and never not be above 500. I was a big Justin Fields fan. I was very pro keep Justin Fields, but I do think the Bears were in a very, very interesting situation when it came to having the first pick, even though they weren't the worst team, thanks to the Panthers. But just some of your thoughts on Justin and kind of his, the biggest part of what makes him such a good athlete.
I would be shocked if, he's not, really quality, if not championship winning quarterback in that league. I think his upside is tremendous. Physical tools out the you know what, mental tools. He's a hard worker. He, you know, all of that. You know, sometimes we're all the victim of our circumstances. You know, I tell our players all the time, or our coaches all the time, you know, you could resurrect Vince Lombardi and bring Nick Saban out of retirement, and if he's coaching a bunch of bad players, they're probably not going to be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. You know, and so I say that to tell you the same with quarterbacks. I think they are a product of their environment and their circumstances, and I think with the right circumstances and right environment, Justin Fields is going to thrive.
Yeah, and I mentioned, like, I'm a big fan, but I also think the guy really busted his butt for the Bears, and he did everything he could to put the Bears in a place that he felt like he could. And unfortunately, like you said, the circumstances weren't there for you. Well, thanks so much, Coach, for joining me. I really appreciate it. I know your season kicks off August 30th, right around the corner. It's going to be here before we know it. I know it's only August 8th, but I feel like once August hits, we're pretty much in football season.
You got it. Well, all thanks right. for having me, Taylor. Go Owls and go Bears.
Yes, go Owls, go Bears. Thank you, Coach. Have a good one.
Thank you.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're joined by a very special guest today, and I was just telling you off air, Matt, by the way, everybody, Matt Hamilton, but if you do not know him, he is part of the Up and Adams with Kay Adams. They just did their full-on tour of a ton of training camps, and so a ton of good content coming out of there, which obviously we'll get to, but you guys were at Bears camp yesterday, but almost a year to the day, I was talking to you, Matt, and it was August 11th of 2023 that we were having a conversation, and it was very different conversations. It was Justin Fields and what does Justin Fields need to do to prove that he's the franchise quarterback of the Bears? And obviously that did not go the way that maybe some of us felt or hoped it would go. So let's just talk about that just for a second. I know people are tired of hearing about mm-hmm. Justin Fields, but did you understand the choice of moving on from Justin and drafting a guy, Caleb Williams?
Oh, 100%. It was the thing that they had to do because, again, and it's nothing against Justin Fields. I'm still interested to see what he does in Pittsburgh. But with where they were in his contract, with that clock ticking on that rookie deal, you know, they would have had to sacrifice other pieces if they wanted to keep him. You restart the clock on a rookie quarterback that, you know, I think has a higher ceiling than Justin Fields does. I think that's fair to say. And even if he's just as good as Justin Fields, it's a win because you get him now for 4 years on a rookie deal as opposed to, you know, having to pay that veteran money. So that's why you're able to extend a DJ Moore. That's why you're able to bring in some of these other pieces because you have him on that rookie deal. So beyond just the talent level, just from the front office team building standpoint, it was what they had to do.
It's wild to go back and look because that's why I think that some people forget that the Bears didn't have the number one pick because they didn't suck. They won 7 games last year and yep. honestly were a few plays away from winning 9-10 games. But the circumstances were very rare. The circumstances that happen don't happen often. And they were kind of thrown into a spot of like, we are giving you a potential franchise quarterback. And when you look back at the deal that Ryan Poles made, Matt, with that, they got Darnell Wright out of it, Tyreek Stevenson out of it, Caleb Williams out of it. They have another pick next year that they'll also be getting out of that trade. So it just looks like probably one of the better deals that the Bears have ever made in franchise history.
Yeah, it really does already, even without knowing. Yeah, and DJ. But yeah, even if Caleb, you know, obviously, it, you know, if Caleb works out and turns into the quarterback we think he can be, then it's maybe the greatest trade in NFL history. Yeah. And that's, yeah. But obviously, yeah. Like some of it hinges on that. But even without, even without that, it's an incredible deal, an incredible job by Ryan Poles to make the most of that situation.
Let's look over. So you guys have been, did you say 11 straight days is what you just did?
Yeah, 12 camps overall. We just did 11 straight. And we have another 7 to go, too, next week.
So fun. I mean, I know it's exciting. It's a lot of hard work, but it is really cool to kind of see where each organization is individually and some of these new players that are on rosters. There was a ton of big moves this offseason, which I feel like we get splash moves every now and then, but there's Danielle Hunters and Stephon Diggs and Keenan Allen's all in different places this year. So it's really fun to kind of watch. But what was your favorite one? Let's say outside of the Bears, because I know some really cool things and with Caleb and everything is probably really interesting. Outside of the Bears, what has been your favorite camp moment?
So outside of the Bears, I mean, every single one of these was amazing, by the way. It was you know, they're all different, they're all inexperienced, but the energy at all these camps has been so good. But I think the one that really stuck out to me the most was the Commanders. Just such a new energy there. There was a packed crowd for practice. There was no, you know, it was a mob scene. Like there was nowhere, there was no free space for anybody to get in. Those fans are so juiced about this team. And with the new GM and Adam Peters, with the new head coach and Dan Quinn, new quarterback and Jaden Daniels, there's just such an energy there. And talking to some of the guys that have been there for a few years, like a Daron Payne compared it to his freshman year at Alabama coming in, you know, and everything being so new. Jahan Dotson said, it felt like I got traded. Because it's just such a different organization from the one he was drafted into. So it's really cool. It's really cool to see. And Jaden looked amazing, by the way, too. He was electric.
Yeah, that's what it's. I will say that we did kind of like our sleeper teams a couple weeks ago on Helmets and Heels, mm-hmm. and Washington was mine. I just think that they've done things really right. I also think about when you get rid of toxicity, like what Dan Snyder was, it really does start to change an organization very quickly. So I'm happy for them. I don't want Jaden Daniels to be better than Caleb Williams because we'll never hear the end of it. But I'm not rooting for Jaden Daniels' demise. So Matt, let's look at some of the Bears stuff. A ton of good content coming out yesterday. I love you guys anyways, and Kay's amazing, obviously, but some of the stuff that was coming out of camp, you could just feel the difference also, and maybe not just 1 year, but the shift of the last three seasons with the Bears and where the team was. I was looking back at the 2021 roster, and of the starters, there's like two guys left on there, and it's Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet. So it's wild to see not only the transformation of the depth chart and the roster, but also just the environment and the vibe. And it feels like everybody's getting along and they like each other and it's not all this weird tension. But Caleb Williams, and this guy's 22 years old, and I feel like I'm talking to a 40-year-old man sometimes, the way he speaks and like the maturity aspect of how he vocalizes things and tuning out the noise. Is that the same vibe you guys got too?
Oh, 100%. He carries himself like a veteran. And, you know, you never fully know what to expect because it's a different setting, too, than seeing these guys in their press conferences and after practice. And, you know, we get some surprises in there, too. But Caleb was it's impossible not to like him being around him, you know, even the interactions off camera, you know, make sure to say hi to everybody, thank everybody when he was done, all that. But just the presence that he has is really impressive in the way he carries himself. You don't look at him and think this is a rookie quarterback. He has such a good handle on everything and such a maturity level to him.
Yeah, it's really been fun to watch because back in January when all the rumors were going on about how they may trade Justin Fields and if it's Caleb Williams, and obviously all this like very negative energy kind of came out surrounding Caleb Williams about how he's not a good teammate and how he has this Hollywood personality and all of this stuff. And it almost looks like it was opposite. Caleb Williams is very confident and he's very competitive and he loves perfection. And he talks about that. He wants things to be perfect. He wants things to be right. But I think people maybe took that as being the Hollywood vibe. But to me, I think the more you get to know Caleb, the more you see it's not an arrogance, it's a confidence. And there's a difference between that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, when it comes to that Hollywood stuff, all the attention that was on him and some of this, you know, the NIL stuff, getting him more attention, getting him some money when he played, I think all that did, you know, from listening to him both at these presses and yesterday, I think all that did was prepare him for this moment a little bit more than what we've seen from other rookie quarterbacks where everything is all the attention, the money, all this stuff is brand new to them. He's been dealing with it for a couple of years. So if there's anybody that can come into a situation like this with a big, passionate fan base, with a ton of attention on him, with a ton of expectations on him, it's Caleb. I think he was built to kind of handle this moment. And, you know, even a lot of other talented rookie quarterbacks who are good guys coming out, like it could be overwhelming for them, but I don't think it's going to overwhelm Caleb. I think he's ready for it.
And the league definitely hasn't shied away from it. The first season of Caleb Williams, we get the Hall of Fame game. There's a London game. There's Hard Knocks. There's five primetime games, I think, a Thanksgiving game. They're definitely not shying away from putting Caleb out into the world for everyone to see. So obviously we hope that. So let's talk about the football side of that a little bit, because one of the things that he talked about with Kay, which I didn't even think about, is he hasn't played a football game since the mid-November. That's a long time to not play a football game. Yeah. Do you think that there's a possibility of any rust there? Or do you think Caleb does enough in the offseason that he will be able to kind of get it, jump into this quickly?
Yeah, I think with the practices, with the way the Bears practice, with getting some preseason action, and I'm not worried about that. Not worried about that at all. And I also love just hearing him talk about practices, talking about playing for a defensive coach in Eberflus and the advantages to that. You know, he's learning how defensive coaches think, how they want to attack him, how they want to attack the offense. And that allows him to, you know, come to a better understanding of what they're trying to do and how they can combat that. So I thought that was really cool. And it was also interesting to hear, like, they're not taking it easy on him whatsoever. They are throwing everything at him defensively. And this is going to be a great defense. And they are trying to confuse him, trying to put everything on him. So I think when you do that, you know, it forces him to kind of grow and get up to speed. And you could tell there were a couple points yesterday when he was referring to his practice where he was a little pissed at himself that he didn't get certain things right. So it's like, as you mentioned, that kind of perfectionist, you know, he's a perfectionist and but it's also in a constructive way. You know, he's like, I really, you know, he's thinking about it and he wants to get better at it, but he's not letting it ruin his day and, like, you know, change the personality he is.
Yeah. I don't know. Were you able to watch the first episode of Hard Knocks?
I saw some clips. We were, with the traveling, we weren't able to see the full thing. Yeah. Cause that Green Bay to Cleveland for Texans camp to Chicago was some.
A little bit of a haul.
Crazy stretch of travel. Yeah.
Well, I was just wondering because there's many aspects in that. At one part, Nick Saban was on there, and Nick Saban and Matt Eberflus are talking, and, you know, Eberflus is asking Saban how he coaches his quarterbacks and, like, the different things that he would do. And Saban's like, I always stand behind them and I talk to them from behind because I want to see the view of the quarterback and see, you know, I'm used to that defensive view of the field. I know what it looks like from that angle, but from the other angle, from a quarterback angle, nobody else has that view of the field. And so it was really interesting to kind of hear that. Obviously Saban's a genius when it comes to coaching. So that little aspect in Hard Knocks was really cool to me. But another thing, Kay also talked to Keenan Allen. I love Keenan Allen. It was honestly one of my, I loved the move this offseason. I think bringing someone in who has that, the veteran side of obviously experience on the football field, experience in playoff moments, experience in big games, but also I've heard so many good things when it comes to Keenan about being like a role model when it comes to younger receivers, but also defensive backs. And when I talked to some of the Chargers people, they talked a ton about how Keenan would always stay after camp. And, like, if some of the corners were struggling with certain things, he would stay and say, you know, like, oh, this is what I was doing on this play. This is what you should do. Here's, like, the, you know, the vision of what you should see from your angle and da da da. And he would help with that. And I think it's so beneficial because not only do you have a guy like Roma Dunze, who perfect to kind of be under Keenan Allen, but Matt, you also have this young defensive back group when, you know, Jaquan Brisker's young, Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson, we have a ton of them. Jalen Johnson, the veteran on the team, pretty much. So is that, what did you see from Keenan? How much does, it seemed like he's very confident in this wide receiver room.
Oh, absolutely. He, you know, you always wonder when you have three guys in that receiver room who were number one receivers on their team last year. So it's an interesting dynamic, but they're getting along. They're genuinely getting along so well. You can see it. They genuinely like each other. And he's embracing that role, as you said, as kind of the mentor on this team, not only to that receiver room, but to Caleb. They spend a ton of time together. And with those DBs, it seems like he's, you know, obviously Jalen had an incredible year last year, but he seems to be bringing out it even another level to his game in their battles in practice. So it's funny because I think because he's had some of the bites in the media and he can, you know, he speaks his mind.
Yeah.
You know, people have one perception of him, but you're right. As a teammate, he is as good as it gets. He's, you know, he wants to take the time out and help these younger guys.
Yeah. It's funny going back because he made the comment during the press conference the other day that he didn't have a catch on Jalen Johnson yet. And even back in the, like the Pro Bowl, he, the game ended because Jalen Johnson batted one away from Keenan Allen. So it was kind of like this evolving thing that happened. And then the next practice, Keenan gets a catch on Jalen, and you could just see the excitement out of that. But the benefits, Matt, of having a defense where you feel like it could be one of the better defenses in the league. I think the linebacking group is great. I love the secondary. There's some questions with the pass rush, but you do have Montez Sweat. People are expecting Javon Dexter to take a step up. So you could have a pretty solid defense if it looks like what it did in the second half last year, the top 10 defense. The benefits of an offense, especially a young offense, going up against a defense like that.
Yeah, I mean, it pushes you to be better. I mean, and Caleb kind of said it. He was like, I'm just excited to not have to go against this defense anymore and go against someone else. And we asked him about playing in the preseason against the Bills. But you mentioned the roster turnover and how far it's come in the last couple of years. And I feel like last year was like really the big transition year for the roster and for the defense in particular. But now this year, when you look at it, 10 of those 11 projected starters on defense were on the roster last year. Most of them started. So you're starting to get that continuity now and that chemistry. And as you mentioned, the second half of last year, you really saw it come together. And that's going to carry over into this year. And I think that's what's really exciting for Eberflus is, you know, having those guys in the room, you know, growing together. And now, you know, you bring Montez Sweat. I think that was the piece that was kind of missing at the trade deadline, but you get him in the building now for a full offseason, full training camp. It's really exciting to think about what this defense is going to be able to accomplish. Top 10, I think even top five is within reach.
We like hearing that. I think that when you go back, and that's what we talked about last year, and the DJ Moore acquisition, obviously, it was phenomenal. It was the best choice probably they could have made, even when we go back and like it didn't end the way some people wanted it with Justin Fields and DJ Moore. But DJ Moore had a career year, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns. Like, he looked phenomenal. And so it was kind of like the here I am the world for DJ Moore moment. But so you get that, and then obviously making the trade for Montez. So there was those splash plays last year that really, like you said, kind of transformed it by making, here's these couple people that can really alter your offense. But I think what Ryan Poles did this year, Matt, is he went and he got guys who had experience in whether it's longevity, but also playoff experience and big game moments. Because I feel like when you grab somebody like Keenan Allen, who has been in the league for a long time and has had several moments like that, a DeAndre Swift, who obviously being just in Philly and having moments in the postseason, things like that. When you start getting these guys, I feel like that was when coaches are telling you they feel like they're close. When you're closing in on those final pieces of guys, let's just get these final few that know how to win and have done it in big moments. And that kind of is your final check marks for what this roster building may look like.
Yeah. And a guy like Kevin Byard too, in the secondary, he's the one new piece to this defense. But as you mentioned, he's another guy that he's played in an AFC championship game before. He's been there, he's done that. And, It does have that feel to it. You're right, where like it's like, let's just get these final kind of veteran pieces in here to push this to another level. And I do think I look at this team as a playoff team. The biggest thing they have going against them is how tough that division is going to be, because there are no easy games there. But, you know, we saw it with the AFC North last year. They had three, even as brutal as that division was and as much as they beat each other off, they got three teams in. So it can happen. And I think the Bears have a really good shot at making it happen.
Yeah. And I think, like you mentioned at the top, it's a lot of Caleb. And I don't even think Caleb doesn't have to be perfect this year for the Bears to win 9-10 games. I don't think Caleb just has to be, like you said, he has to be consistent. It has to not a ton of mistakes, but he doesn't have to be perfect. I want to talk probably my favorite draft pick. I know the Caleb's a big talk, but I'm obsessed with Rome Odunze. Obsessed. I was hammering for Rome from the time February hit, when I started really diving into a lot of film and doing my draft podcast. Obsessed with Rome Odunze. When the Falcons said Michael Penix, I absolutely lost my mind. But we're talking about Eberflus is talking to Kay about him being like the punt returner. The fans don't absolutely love that. How do you feel about that?
I do love it, because I think when you know, in this situation that he was drafted into, you have DJ Moore, you have Keenan. There are going to be times where he's not getting his touches on offense as a rookie. So let's find other ways to get the ball in his hands. He's a dynamic player. And if the punt return, you know, putting him back there on punt return is the way to do it, let's do it. Let's go. Let's give him a shot, especially if he looks good back there. Yeah. And it's interesting because he only had 3 punt returns in his entire college career. He hadn't done a ton. One of them he ran back for a touchdown. Yeah. But talking to Keenan too, Keenan's like, Keenan made it known, like, he's really good back there. So, and again, if anybody knows how much a punt returner can change the complexion of games, it's the Chicago Bears fan base. So, I love it. And again, the biggest thing I think is like going to be finding ways. They're all deserving of their touches. Find ways to get them their touches. And this is a way to create more. Let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah. And I definitely get that side of it. And because you do, like, you talk about Keenan and DJ, but there's also a guy named Cole Kmet and a guy named Gerald Everett and a offensive coordinator who loves his tight ends and loves those 2 tight end sets and using those to set up play action and RPO and all these other things. So there's a lot of guys that want to get touches. Oh, by the way, also DeAndre Swift. We've seen Swift be able being used in the receiving game a lot too. So there are a lot of hands, and I get you want him to get his experience and you want to use the guy you picked 9th overall getting some sort of something. I think some fans are like, that's the way he gets hurt, is just like punt returning. And I'm like, I feel like if a player's going to get hurt, he's going to get hurt. But I want to see Rome on the field either way. I want to talk a little bit about something that I think we haven't talked a ton about, speaking of DeAndre Swift, which is the running back room in Chicago, because there's questions like, is Khalil Herbert even going to make the roster? That's kind of some of the buzz that's going around. Roshon Johnson, what step is he going to take this season? And then obviously going out and acquiring DeAndre Swift for a decent amount of money after not paying David Montgomery a couple seasons ago. Thoughts on that room, and kind of, did you guys talk at all about what those running backs, what it's kind of looking like right now?
Yeah, so we didn't get into that with Coach, the running back room, but I do like this group. I think DeAndre Swift is a guy that didn't really fit in Philly last year with the scheme that they were running. You mentioned it. I think he's at his best catching passes out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. I feel like they didn't do enough really drawing stuff up for him, because I think that's where he really shines. It's not just, okay, let's throw him check downs, let's throw him swing passes, but like, he can run routes out of the backfield. And they ran so much of a zone scheme. I think, you know, switching things up a little bit with Waldron's offense, I think will help him. And I think, you know, I do think we're going to see a little bit of a split there, because I think Roshon Johnson is a really talented guy too. And he runs with some power, which isn't as much DeAndre Swift's game. I still like Khalil Herbert. I mean, we've seen some big things out of him in the past. We've seen the flashes of it. So I think, you know, yes, there may not be like that superstar running back, but I think there's a lot of talent in that room. And especially with what they can do, what these guys can do in the passing game as well. It's you know, it may not be the flashiest group on paper, but I think it's going to be an effective one.
Yeah, and that's one thing that the Bears historically can do is run the ball. So that's even when it comes to the offensive line, they've always been better at run blocking over pass protecting. So that's always kind of factored in. I actually talked to the former Texas coach, Tom Herman, and he coached Roshon for a little bit. And he was like, what a lot of people don't know is Roshon actually came into the league as a quarterback. He was a quarterback originally at Texas, ended up switching to running back. And he said that, so that's why he was like, he's seen the field as a quarterback. So he sees the field much different than a lot of running backs do, like the lanes he can see, the cuts he can make. And so I'm really interested. I want to see more of Roshon. I hope we see a lot more this season, because I think he was kind of hidden behind Bijan. So people weren't talking about him as much as at Texas. But I do, I like a lot about him. And so when you talked about Shane Waldron's offense though, because I think that it will be more fun, definitely, than what we've seen from Luke Getsy, because Luke Getsy, I feel like, definitely kind of had his way of doing things, and it wasn't very flashy. It was very like, okay, you know, run, pass. It kind of felt like what it was. Shane Waldron, definitely a little more quirky, likes to try things. I keep telling people maybe not expect that in the first 3-4 weeks, because they will be all adjusting to each other, and he doesn't want to force Caleb into some mistakes or having to play this hero ball too early. But what does a Shane Waldron offense potentially look like, and how just like fun and high speed can it be when we actually fully see it in depth?
Yeah, so he's another guy from that McVay tree. So I think you can expect a lot of motion. You can expect some tempo. As you mentioned, he does have a good history with his tight end, so that's good for Cole Kmet. But I think he's one of these guys too. He adapts to his personnel. We've seen him in a lot of different situations. We saw what he was able to do in Seattle with those three receivers, and you know, and with Geno, and bringing the best out of him. So I think you know, it's kind of the perfect guy to bring in here. Again, having a wide receiver room with, you know, a couple of really good veterans and a rookie, and seeing how he's, you know, able to maximize that. And yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, I know it's been talked about that, but we've seen the success that these McVay guys have had. That system works in the NFL. It's very quarterback friendly. And yeah, that use of motion and everything is, it's become the most important thing for an NFL offense, is to effectively utilize motion and maximize that and get your playmakers in favorable matchups. And I think that's what we're going to see.
Couple more for you before I let you go. We talked about several of the things that kind of I've seen Kay talking to Keenan and Flus and Caleb. Was there anything else? Give us a few things that maybe were talked about there that stood out to you, comments, whatever, from any of them that kind of stood out in yesterday's visit.
Yeah. So, sorry, trying to think of specifics. It's been a long time. But yeah, I think one thing that wasn't talked about that I, you know, just noticing is, I think the one question about this offense still, we know the playmakers are there. Mm-hmm. Being able to protect Caleb Williams is still a question that I left camp with. You know, there's significant questions there, and there's talent in that offensive line group, but interested to see how that comes together. Another interesting thing, and I don't want to, you know, there were hard knocks cameras around obviously all day. They're shooting hard knocks still. So, we could potentially see a Kay Adams cameo in Hard Knocks. Who knows?
I love it.
So we'll see how that all shakes out. But I think just the biggest thing to me, just being there, you know, going out to practice, talking to people in the building, you know, off camera, there is such a renewed positive energy in that building right now. I think everybody there really believes that they have their quarterback and that they have things figured out with this roster going forward. And they fully expect this team to be really, really good right out of the gates this year.
Yeah, I mean, Bears fans are longing for it. It's been the never having a quarterback conversation finally ending would be fantastic. But I think also just for the sake of being competitive again and watching football games where you feel like you're having fun, and we've had years of it, you know, like 2018 was that you win the North and you think you have something that you're building great, and then it falls apart in a couple years. But to me, that's also the difference of what Ryan Pace did and Ryan Poles did. What Ryan Poles has turned from getting rid of the dead cap that Ryan Pace had built up over the years and all of these big contracts that you kind of had to overpay some of these players, and but not for long periods of time. Like when you look at this offense now, Matt, between Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Caleb Williams, you have all those guys for the next four, five, 6 years. And so you have your core of offense set now, and it's really exciting to kind of see that. And then there's that mix on the other side. You give Jalen Johnson a contract, obviously, and then you have some younger DBs. So all of those will be approaching, but I feel like they're in a good spot to be building in the right direction. But it's a good time because, like you mentioned, and this is my final one for you, the NFC North all looks like they're kind of building in the right direction. And obviously the Lions have done things very right in recent years when it comes to building their protection on the offensive line. They have one of the best lines, if not the best offensive line in the league. Jared Goff has just been able to really prove that he can be that guy, even in the moments where maybe people didn't think he could. Amon Ra gets his contract. They started trying to fix their secondary. Packers, I'm hoping they didn't, but a lot of people think that Jordan Love's the next. But it's and then the Vikings, like, who knows? I know Sam Darnold right now looks like he's starting, but it looks like JJ McCarthy has been really good in camp. And so they obviously have pieces too. So the NFC North outlook to you from the outside of kind of what that could look like this season.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could be this year's AFC North. I think it might be the toughest division in football with the way things are shaping up. Cause as you mentioned, the Lions aren't going anywhere. I think Jordan Love is the real deal. And I think, you know, being up there in Green Bay, I think again, like everybody around him sees it. They feel fully confident in their quarterback. And the Vikings are the one that I think people are you know, underestimating a little bit because there is so much talent on that team. So yes, they don't really have the quarterback situation figured out, but we saw what they were able to do last year with a worse quarterback situation after Cousins went down. They were competitive, you know, they were in the playoff hunt all the way into the last stretch of the season. So I think you surround either one of those quarterbacks with Justin Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson, and they're going to be really good and a much better situation at running back with Aaron Jones than what they had last year. Yeah. So I don't think the Vikings are going to be the pushover everybody thinks they are. So as I said before, I think that's the only, that's the biggest thing working against the Bears is just the division that they're in. Because if you put them, you put them in almost any other division in the NFL, I'd say they're, you know, I'd be 90% confident they're a playoff team. I still think they get to the playoffs, but it's a much tougher road because of what they have to go up against. And I did want to say too on the Ryan Poles point, you know, Eberflus is very quick. When we asked him who doesn't get enough credit here, he didn't hesitate a second. We said Ryan Poles. So it was cool to hear. Cool to hear that they have such a great relationship and he's appreciative of the job he's done, Poles has done reshaping this roster to give him the talent to coach up now.
Yeah. We call him King Poles around here because it's just been, we feel like one thing after another he's been able to do, but also going back to the division, also we don't play any of them until week 11 either. So it's going, that last stretch of the schedule could potentially be one of the most stressful situations I've ever been in.
Yeah, and I think overall, though, I think it's a good thing because, you know, again, when you have a rookie quarterback and everything is so new, it's kind of an advantage to not have to worry about those games until he's got 10 games under his belt, I guess, at that point, or nine, I think, because there's a bye week. But yeah, he'll have nine NFL starts under his belt before he has to worry about the Packers and, you know, the rest of that division.
Yeah, we just got to get one against the Packers this year. It's been a long time. Got to get one. All right, Matt. Well, thank you so much for hopping on with me. I know you guys added more dates now. So where are you going next?
So Sunday we're going to the Giants. Okay. Then we go Dolphins, 49ers, Broncos, Chargers. Take a couple days, and then we have Falcons and Saints to round it off. And who knows? We may add more at this point. Who knows?
Yeah. Very interesting. Kind of continuation of what's going on, because obviously a lot of storylines in each of those places, the Giants, their whole camp has been fighting. I feel like the whole Lions and Giants camp was fighting each other. Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, you're going to get some clips from, you guys will have some definitely clips from that one. So we'll have fun. And thank you again for hopping on with me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Have a good one.
You too.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.